The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
And very quickly, I just have to tell you to say, because this night is going to be very impactful for you. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been ministering the things of the Spirit. This can come on, right? And this come on. We're ministering the things of the Spirit tonight. Amen. Now, I've been blessed so far in this meeting. So I'll continue from where we stopped in the morning. Remember, we're discussing something. I'm trying to show you or take you through the Old Testament to show you how everything they did and everything they do, or they did then and some still do today, point to what Christ has done. And that's the main concept of this meeting. They all point to the facts of Christ's death and his resurrection. Hallelujah. That's where they point to. Now, Galatians 3 verse 16. Let's continue from there. But before Galatians 3, let me just refresh your mind for people that are here for the first time. Colossians 2 verse 16. Colossians 2 verse 16. Colossians 2 verse 16. With maybe NLT or something. Let me give you some time. Close your eyes. Pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. While the media, while we wait for them to come up. I guess I will just use this. Just pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. Just talk in tongues. Let me just walk with this. Hallelujah. Are we ready now? Okay. Colossians chapter 2 verse 16. Let's walk with NLT. He said, let no man. So don't let anyone condemn you. This is one of the main things we are focusing our teaching on. Let no man condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holidays or new moon ceremonies or Sabbath. He said, let no man condemn you for these things or the festivals that we've seen so far. Let no man condemn you for not celebrating them. Why? The next verse tells us, for these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. He said, and Christ himself is that reality. And so everything that we're celebrating in the Old Testament, they were figures, they were shadows of what was yet to come. Hallelujah. So they were celebrating in anticipation. And so when they were offering the burnt offerings, it was in anticipation of something. And this verse tells us that those things, what they were anticipating, was the coming of Christ's death and his resurrection. Are you still here? And so that is where we base our teaching on for this weekend. So let's go to Galatians 3 verse 16. I'm going to tell you a story, the story of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 verse 16. Let's walk it. Okay, yes, we'll come back to this. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is who? And so, when God made a promise to Abraham and his seed in the Old Testament, who was God referring to? So Isaac was not the seed God promised Abraham. Hello? Well, look at it. To Abraham and his seed, the promise is not made. He said not unto seeds. So what did not say in the Old Testament is to seed. He said unto seed, which is Christ. So Christ, when God was telling Abraham, you are going to have someone, it wasn't Isaac. It wasn't Isaac. Hallelujah. It's not me that said. Look at this verse again. Put up like NLT of the verse so that it can be clear. Come and have this. Look at this. God gave the promises to Abraham and his child. And notice that the scripture does not say to his children as if it meant mean descendants. Rather, it says to, and that of course means
So the promise that God made was not to Abraham and Isaac. It was to Abraham and Christ.
Are you still here? I may touch this tomorrow, but let me not dwell too much on it.
So, but then the point is, this evening is, there was a promise that was made to them. To Abraham and Christ. And what promise was that? Drop back to verse 14 with King James. There was a promise God made to them. There was a promise God made to Abraham. And that promise extended from Abraham to his seed. That the blessing of Abraham, that promise he refers to it as the blessing, that the blessing of Abraham may come, might come on who? Gentiles through Christ Jesus. What is that blessing? Eh? That we might receive. So what was the promise that God made to Abraham? The promise.
Wow.
If this you're hearing for the first time, it's scattering everything you know about Abraham and Isaac. I'm showing you the Bible. The blessing of Abraham coming on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And so it tells you that the promise that God made to Abraham is that he will give his Spirit. I'm telling you plainly, and let me explain it further for you. In Acts chapter 13, verse 33, he doesn't now talk about Abraham alone, he now talks about the fathers. God had fulfilled the same. Drop a verse, like verse 32 or so. Let's see the flow. And we declare unto you glad tidings. How that the promise was made unto which people? Was Abraham part of the fathers? Isaac, Jacob, Elijah, Noah. The promise was made to them. What is the promise? Verse 33. God had fulfilled the same unto their children, in that he had raised up Jesus again. So what was the promise made to the fathers that was fulfilled to their children?
The resurrection. Is it very clear?
So what did God promise the fathers? That he will raise up Jesus from the dead. That is what Galatians explains as the promise of the Spirit. Because it is through Christ being raised from the dead that the Spirit will be given. Are you here? And so, what you call Abraham's blessing was not the curse that he possessed. Are you still here? Abraham's blessings are mine. Let's sing it. Come on. Abraham's blessings are mine.
It's not a bad song, so sing it. Feel free.
I am blessed in the morning. I'm blessed in the evening. Can you imagine? Hallelujah.
It's okay. You won't respect yourself. Hallelujah. Now stop.
Now, when you sing that song, what's on your mind? The promise that God made to the fathers, Abraham inclusive, was that he would raise Jesus from the dead. Galatians calls it that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And so, the promise that God made to Abraham was the resurrection of Christ. Simple. That promise has blessings. Go back to Galatians 3, verse 14. Verse 14. Verse 14. 14. That the blessing of Abraham. So, there is a blessing that is attached, hallelujah, to Abraham. There was a promise God made to him. There is a blessing attached to that promise. What was the promise? That he would raise Jesus from the dead. Then there is the blessing of Abraham. I'm going to look at it very briefly this evening. And so when we're talking about the blessing of Abraham, we are simply talking about the blessing of resurrection, right? What was the promise again? That he will raise Jesus from the dead, right? So when we talk about the blessing of Abraham, we're talking about the blessing that will come upon him, or that came upon him as a result of the promise that God made to him. Are you still here? Okay, now, let's look at that blessing. Romans chapter 4 from verse 1. So I'm going to look at Abraham, the blessing of Abraham. I'm going to show you how this relates to you. Romans 4 from verse 1. What shall we say then? Maybe, let's work with NLT. Because of... Now, Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation.
What did he discover about being right with, being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable. So go back to verse 1. Put off King James. Let's answer the question. So Paul was trying to explain Abraham. He's saying, what did Abraham find? What do you think it was that Abraham found? Cars? The secrets to prosperity? The secret to deliverance? He said, what do you think Abraham, our father, found? What did he find? Verse 2 now gives us the answer. For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. Verse 3. For what said the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? So what did Abraham, our father, find? Righteousness. You get the point? The blessing that God gave Abraham from that resurrection was that he will be justified by faith. Look at it again. What said the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him. Let's continue verse 4. For righteousness. He said, for now to him. Let's go back to NLT. Because I want you to understand this. But you understand what Abraham found is simple. Justification by faith. So what is the promise God made to Abraham? He will raise us from the dead. What is the blessing that will come from that promise? Justification by faith. Righteousness by faith. Now, when people walk, their wages are not a gift. Go to verse 3. Let's start from verse 3. For the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God, and God counted him righteous because of what? His faith. So what he found was, a man can be righteous by faith. A man can be righteous by faith. So the promise God made to him, when he says, "I see you're going to have a child, you're going to have a seed, I'm going to give the whole world to you, you know, I'm going to make you a father." All those promises, we are summarized in these statements. Righteousness by faith. Now look at verse 4. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. Do you understand it? When you're a teacher, at the end of the month, they pay you. They're not dashing you money. They're paying you for what you did. Now, verse 5. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work. So this righteousness that was given to you is not because you earned it. It is a gift. People are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God, who forgives sinners. Let's flow to verse 6. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. That's me, right? So what Moses was describing in the book of Psalms was you. People who are made righteous without working. Do we have righteous men in the house this evening? David spoke of this. Now look at what David said in verse 7. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. He was saying, oh, what joy, because he himself didn't have it fully. They had it in a promissory note. David was now saying, Kai, oh, what joy for those people. This is what Abraham found. Okay, verse 8. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Verse 9. Now, is this blessing? So he was talking about the blessing of Abraham. He explained it as righteousness by faith, as being sin, being put away or put out of sight and all that. He now said, is this blessing only for the Jew, or is it also for us circumcised Gentiles? Well, we have been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous by God because of his faith. So the blessing of Abraham is righteousness by faith. So when you sing Abraham's blessings are mine, you are singing that God told Abraham that he will raise us from the dead, and by raising Jesus, he was going to be made righteous. So was Abraham righteous? The answer is yes. How? He believed what God told him. What did God tell him? That he will raise Jesus from the dead. So Abraham's righteousness was put to his account. Don't miss this. So in reality, he wasn't really righteous. He was put to his account, because as at that time, what he believed in had not happened. So it was counted unto him for righteousness. It is not counted unto us. We are not counted as righteous. We are really righteous. I didn't get the point. He believed God in a promissory note that he will raise Jesus from the dead. And they say, wow, we can credit it to him as righteousness. So what Abraham believed in a promissory note, we believe as something that has happened. So Abraham was believing that God will raise Jesus from the dead. We believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. So what was counted into his account is not given to us. It's our reality. So the blessing of Abraham is righteous by faith. You find out in Genesis 15 verse 6. He said, and Abraham believed God. I will explain this tomorrow. Genesis 15 verse 6. And Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Should I explain this? Okay, maybe I'll do that tomorrow. But let me just show you a little light. Go up to verse 1. I've done this a couple of times. Go up to verse 1. Now, sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said unto him, do not be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. Okay, verse 2. But Abraham replied, oh, sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. He was complaining. Then the Lord said unto him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. This was not Isaac. Isaac just set the ball in motion. Then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That is how many descendants you will have. And Abraham believed God. Who is the seed in this place? Do you remember Galatians 3:16 told us the seed is Christ? So God told Abraham, you are going to have a seed. Put up King James of verse 5. Sorry, I understand it very well. You are going to have a seed. And that seed, he said, so shall thy seed be. How will his seed be? Like the many stars. Who is that seed again? Christ. His seed. So he was telling him that a seed is going to come that will be multiplied into many stars. Did you get it? So what Abraham really believed is that Christ will come and die and rise again and will bring many sons to glory. The seed. Many stars. Is it very clear? So Abraham heard it and believed God. And the Lord said, that one is righteousness. Are you still here this evening? Righteousness. And so, the blessing of Abraham, let me just show like three scriptures because you need to understand this. It's not money. Now, I'm not against money because I'll be praying for money tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I'm not against money. But the blessing, where we primarily, the blessing that God gave Abraham was not money. It was not admission. Are you getting me? It was not new car. The promise was the resurrection. The blessing was righteous by faith. That blessing is what you have now. So when you say, I'm blessed, stop thinking about it. You see, I put it in capital letters, I'm blessed. Which blessing? The very blessing of Abraham. The very blessing. Say, I'm blessed. Okay, that's how you say, I'm blessed. Make sure the B comes out well in capital letters. That's how to write it. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Okay. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say, I'm blessed. The very blessing of Abraham is what was given to us. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Let's go there. Maybe with NLT now so that the reading can be easier. Hallelujah. Galatians 2, verse 16. Yet we know. How many of you know? We know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. No one will ever. No one. So what Abraham found was not righteousness by works. What he found was righteousness by faith. So can we boldly say that we have found what Abraham found? Are we here? Okay. Next verse. Verse 17. But suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ and then we are found guilty because of abandoning the law. Will that mean Christ has led us into sin? Flow. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of law I already tore down. So when you find yourself trying to obey the law and become right with God, you know, I explained rest in the morning, right? When you find yourself not resting, Paul calls you a sinner. It's not Pastor Henry. Now, next verse. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements. I stopped. So that I might live for God. So what Abraham found was a life where he stopped trying to meet God's standard. That's what he found. I stopped. It's not me talking, no. You're reading your Bible. Now, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21, let's echo it together. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. So keeping the law could not make anybody right with God. This is what Abraham found. That is what we call the blessings of Abraham. Blessing of Abraham. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Let me just, this last scripture, this is reference to my faith in. Verse 20, let's look up with NLT because of our time. For no one can ever be made, I like how emphatic the Bible can be. No one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. It shows you how sinful you are. So the law is like a laboratory. It reveals your sickness. They give you your test results. You are HIV positive. They cannot do anything about it. That's the law. Now, verse 21, it says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. No matter. This is what Abraham found. In verse 23, he now gives us the popular, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. But don't stop there. Verse 24 now said, yet God. Somebody say, yet. So that was not an end. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Someone say, I'm righteous in Christ. This is the blessing of Abraham, that God will justify the ungodly. Hallelujah. So we call it righteousness by faith. That is what Abraham found. In Galatians 3 verse 14, it is called the promise of the Spirit. So he goes to tell you that one of the things that will come by the reason of that resurrection is that the Holy Ghost will be given. How many of you know that it was because of Jesus rising that the Spirit was given? Now, there have always been Holy Spirit all the while, but then you find out the Spirit will always come upon men and do things through them and go. John chapter 7 and verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast. You get the point? On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Verse 38. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. We have drank, oh hallelujah. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Now verse 39, slow down. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing. But the Spirit had not yet been given. Why? Because Jesus had not yet entered. So it was the resurrection of Christ that gave the Spirit. And so that tells you that's why Galatians 3:14 refers to that blessing of Abraham as the promise of the Spirit. It was trying to say that by Jesus rising from the dead, that the Holy Ghost will be given. What major blessing we have. One major blessing that comes with this resurrection is that the Spirit now lives in us. One major blessing. In Acts 2 verse 30, one major blessing that came by resurrection. You know, I was saying it yesterday about tongues. One major blessing that came with resurrection is that the Spirit now inhabits mortal men. That God, divinity now lives in humanity. That's the blessing. He said, but he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand, and the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour upon us, just as you see and hear today. So he was saying that when Jesus rose, that the effect of that was what? The pouring of the Spirit, which they see. How are they seeing and hearing them? Are you hearing it? Peter said, which you see and hear. How are they seeing and hearing that the Holy Ghost has been given? They were praying in tongues. So he was trying to explain to them the tongues that are speaking. He said, what you see and hear today is the Holy Ghost in our hearts. It was given because Jesus rose from the dead. So one major blessing of resurrection is that the Holy Ghost now lives in us. Initially, before now, the Holy Ghost can only come upon men. He can't even stay. But now he has indwelt us. And one major sign of that, like I told you, is tongues. I told you yesterday, every other gift of the Spirit, you will find them in manifestation before the coming of Christ. Before the coming of Christ, Elijah rose the dead. Men worked miracles. Men healed the sick. People saw vision. You see crazy miracles. Moses will strike the waters, it will divide. Gifts just by the Holy Ghost coming upon them. But no man ever spoke in tongues. Not one. Because tongues was exclusive to men who will be inhabited by God. That the people that will be able to speak that language. That's why in Acts 2 verse 4, Bible said the Holy Ghost came upon them and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So do we have people that pray in tongues in this place? If you don't pray in tongues, don't worry. Now, even as I'm talking, the thing is already doing you. Laba, laba. Continue like that. It's rising. Are you here? And so you find out. So every other gift was in operation for them, but tongues was given. So the Holy Ghost. So all I'm trying to show you this evening is that the blessing of Abraham was not a physical thing. Are you here? It was righteousness by faith. Now I'm explaining it again as the giving of the Spirit in the hearts of men. That was the blessing that God gave Abraham. In fact, Hebrews 11 verse 13. So, his blessing were not the houses that he had then. They were not the cattle that he had then. They were things to come. He said, all these people died. You know, Hebrews 11 was talking about Abraham, Isaac, and whatever. All these people died, still believing what God had promised them. So, he never saw that thing. But that's why I told you, he was counted as righteous. But the real thing, he didn't get it. Are you know what I'm talking about? They died still believing what God promised them. They did not receive what was promised. But they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. So the blessing that God gave him was something that was to come from far. It was something in the future. It was not something physical. It was not the physical. In fact, let me say this to you. Do you know that when God told Abraham, leave your father's house to a land that I will show you, he was not talking about a physical place. Genesis 12 verse 1. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thought I came to scatter your theology here, right? Genesis 12 verse 1. Verse 1. Let's work King James for now. We'll come back to NLT. NLT is when I have a complicated verse that your English level cannot comprehend. I just wish that. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. Now, you know, you might not have been to some places in this world. I know you've not been to the US, you've not been to the UK. I know. But then if I say leave your house, you at least ask me where. And I should be able to tell you, well, I'm taking you to the US or to England. But this one, he said, a land I will show you. Now, when he says a place or a land I will show you, it begins to explain that possibly that land he will show him was not yet in existence as of then. Let me show you. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. A land I will show you. It's not in Abuja. It's not in Lagos. It's not in the United States of America. Hallelujah. It's not in Croatia. It's not in Afghanistan. It's not in Egypt. It's not in Bangladesh. It was a land I will show you. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should rather receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Okay, verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker. So the city was looking for was not here. Is a city whose builder and maker. So when God told Israel, as he left physically, he got to Canaan. But Canaan was not the land he was looking for. The real land Oga was looking for was a city whose builder and maker is God. Are you still here? Okay, let's for some things for some reasons. Let's continue. Verse 11. Whose builder and maker is God. Now, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. I'm coming to this because she judged him faithful who had promised. Okay, next verse. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Let's continue. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. So the land he did not receive, but having seen them afar off, and we are persuaded of them, and embrace them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So the land they were looking for was not on the earth. They knew that it was not an earthly thing that God was promising them. But look at the next verse. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country. That is, so it's not an earthly country they were looking for. It wasn't Canaan. Are you listening to me? So, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared them a city. That city they were looking for. Put like NLT of this verse. They desire a country. Look at this. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. A city. So, this land, this promise, is a land, a country, whose builder and maker is God. Who made that country? Who made the country? Who made that land? Please, who made the land? Somebody will now say, ah, it's not God that made the whole earth. Oh, he was trying to say that land was made by God. And it's not a physical, it's not on earth. It's a heavenly country. Let me show you something. John 14 verse 2. John 14 verse 2. What did Abraham find? In my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I said, I go to prepare a land whose builder and maker is God. Jesus now said, I go to prepare. So, could it be the same land that Abraham then we are looking for that Jesus went to prepare? Whose builder and maker is God. So, which land, which place is that God, Jesus prepared? Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am. So when the building is done, one significant thing about that country that is going to prepare is that we will be there and he too will be there. Are you getting the point? We want to see that country. Where I am, you may also be. Verse 4. Now, you are thinking, he said, you are thinking, but this place is heaven now. He's talking about when we go to heaven. Well, let's see. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. I love my brother Thomas. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. You know, I was telling him in the afternoon or in the morning. The last question, they differentiate it for. Then Thomas said, I'm not going to be like these guys. They may know. I don't know. We don't know. Am I speaking your mind? They said yes. He said, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? So Thomas was asking, what is the way that leads to this place you are going to? Verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Complete it. No one cometh to the Father but. So where is he the way to? The way to the Father. So where was God? Where was Jesus going to prepare a place for them? In the Father. Did you get it? He said, show us the way. He said, I am the way. No man comes to the Father. The way to the Father. So when he said, you know the way. When he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That where I am. He was trying to say, I'm going to make provision. I'm going to make room. That where I am. Where is he? He is in the Father. You may also be. So the place that was prepared, or Jesus was going to prepare, was a place in the Father. Hey, Abakade. A place in the Father. Let me just round. Verse 20 now brings it home. Okay, not verse 20. Verse 20, yes. Go to verse 19 first. He now says, verse 19. He says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live. So he was talking about the day he will leave. That's resurrection. Because I live, you shall also live. Verse 20 now said, at that day. Which day? The day that we are living because he is living, the day of resurrection, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So this is the place he prepared, a place of union with him and the Father. Are you getting the point? So when Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, he was not saying, I'm taking you to heaven and I'm building houses for you. No, he was saying, I'm going to make it possible for you to come into the Father. And guess who you will meet when you come into the Father? You meet Jesus. You shall know that I am in my Father. You are in me. I am in you. So all of us are in the Father. God is in me. Me in God. God in Jesus. Jesus in me. Is a union. A house whose builder and maker is God. That is the house he built. So what was Abraham looking for? Abraham was looking for a place called in Christ. He was looking for a spiritual building, a place called in union with the Father, a place called in Christ. This is the place. This is the place. So Abraham was not looking for a physical country. No. He was looking for that place. He was looking for a city. That's why we sang that song, I have found that city. I am living in the city with the true foundation. A home in the heavens, not made by hands. His builder and maker is the Lord of the ages. He prepared it for me, even before the world began. Remember, before the world began, the Lamb of God that was slain before the world began. So that country, they were all wandering all over the wilderness, all over the place looking for. They died, they didn't see it. That's amazing. Hebrews 11 said they died and they didn't see it. But we know Abraham entered Canaan. We know Isaac lived there. We know Jacob lived there. We know the Israelites later entered, as in left to Egypt and came back to Canaan. Yet Hebrews said they died and they didn't see it. Because it wasn't a physical place. It was a place whose builder and maker is God. So what Abraham found or was looking forward to was justification by faith, was union with God, was the indwelling of the Spirit in man. That is what he would look forward to. So they all saw it from afar. They didn't touch it. Now, hallelujah. Now, we are handling it. The same thing. So generally speaking, what I'm trying to show you is that the blessing of Abraham, it wasn't a physical thing. It was a spiritual house. So what did God bless Abraham with? The promise was Jesus is going to rise again. When he rises, Abraham, you know what it means? It means all that believe will be justified by faith. You know what it means? It means the Spirit will now indwell mortal men. You know what it means? It means that man will now come into union with God. Abraham lived all his life looking forward to it. He didn't touch it.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because in verse 39 of Hebrews 11, God had planned that it is only through us that they'll be made perfect. They lived all their life, they didn't enter. They saw it from afar. So, did they inherit the promise? No. But they believed in the promise. As I was teaching you on the things of the Spirit, I told you, this is not my assignment, it just came to me to say it again. I told you, Elijah believed and saw that city from afar. He raised the dead. From afar. I don't even understand the point. Elijah, from afar. Abraham, from afar. He did mighty things. Think of you that is in that city now. Come on. Miracles are normal to me. They're normal to me. Dividing the Red Sea is normal to me. Moses saw it from afar. He didn't enter. He will stand before Red Sea. Red Sea will part. They were looking for a city. We have found that city. It's a place called in Christ. It's a place called in union, oneness with Christ. It is made possible only by the resurrection of Jesus. This is where we are now. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? So generally speaking, when we talk of the blessing of Abraham, primarily, it is not physical things. And whatever it is, we already have now. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about justified by faith. I don't know if you're still here, you're thinking that you're going to be made as you go by your works. I don't know where you came to. How do you think? I keep asking you, do you think you can please God? You're not rich now. No rich, they don't born you well. How you want to take? You can't. Do you know the standard of this guy? Galatians 2 said, if it was possible to be made right with God by the law, then Jesus died. Why did Jesus now come? It was useless now. If some people could meet the standard, why did he now come? It's because it was not possible. So even from the days of Abraham, God has been preaching righteousness by faith. From the days of Abraham. In fact, when I taught you on Noah, you remember? From the days of Noah, he has been preaching righteousness by faith. What they all found and we are looking forward to is what we have now. So David said, oh, what joy for those whose sins have blotted out. He was imagining the kind of joy they will have. And that is you. And you don't have the joy? He said, oh, what joy that these guys will have. So when we rejoice, we are not acting. See, rejoicing is not youthful exuberance. Do you get the point? Rejoicing, we are not doing youthful exuberance. This is real. Oh, what joy. Play. Now that's what I says. He touched me. Oh, he touched me.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.